caregiver. During an emergency, however, this should not be your concern. Your concern should rest solely on stabilizing the patient and assessing immediate threats to that individual's health and well-being as a result of injury or illness. And then there's survival medicine. Although finding a definitive answer to exactly what survival medicine is and isn't, as the case may be, a good working definition which we will apply throughout this guide is that survival medicine represents a way to provide medical attention to the sick and injured using whatever materials may be available at the time. A simple example might be using a tree branch to create a splint for a broken bone. But survival medicine should also account for long-term scenarios. Think the end of the world, apocalyptic stuff. Even if you have a first aid kit stocked with every imaginable supply, eventually those supplies will run out. Whether we are talking about medicine, bandages, or any other consumable medical item, survival medicine dictates that we think about sustainable medicine whenever possible. In addition to learning basic outdoor survival medicine strategies, we will discuss herbal alternatives that are, at least in some cases, just as effective as modern medicine. The difference is that these remedies can be grown and made in the comfort of your own home, and with a proper understanding of these basic principles, you have an unlimited supply of medicine available even if society is facing imminent collapse. Now that we've established the basic differences between first aid and survival medicine, let's look at each in more detail. The next chapter is devoted to the basics of first aid and how these concepts apply to a variety of emergency situations. Chapter 2. Basic First Aid. Before diving into the techniques required to perform basic first aid, there are two important topics we need to discuss. Without first understanding these concepts and how they apply to an emergency situation, we have little hope of actually helping anyone. In fact, sometimes we can unintentionally do more harm than good. The importance of first aid training. There have been many documented cases where people with good intentions have actually created more harm to a victim by trying to assist in a medical emergency without proper training. First aid guidelines are very specific for this reason. When you approach an injured person, you have no idea what the extent of their injuries might be, and every precaution should be taken until the source of the injury has been positively identified. For example, moving an individual who may have some sort of spinal injury could make the injury worse and even result in permanent paralysis. Any victim who has even the slightest chance of spinal injury should not be moved without equipment designed to stabilize the spinal column. If you do not have any experience in first aid techniques, there are tons of free or low-cost classes available. Every adult in your family should have at least basic first aid training, and learning more advanced techniques is even better. Training is important for a couple of reasons. First aid knowledge has been proven to save lives. The training also provides first responders with a level of confidence not found in people without first aid training. This extra confidence often helps to mitigate the onset of panic. If you have never seen an injured person with a hysterical loved one by their side, it is an extremely stressful situation. Most people experienced in first aid training resort to their training first and let their emotions take a backseat to the immediate issue of addressing the victim's needs. Training increases your response time during an emergency. A difference of only a few minutes can affect whether a victim survives or succumbs to their injuries. Without oxygen, the brain dies within 6 minutes. Arterial bleeding can result in death within 5 minutes. Lacerations can quickly become infected. Shock can even lead to death relatively quickly if not managed properly. By knowing what to do in a given situation before it occurs, you will be able to make sound judgments quickly that can have a positive impact on the health of the victim. The first aid kit. Creating a first aid kit is something that should not be taken lightly. It truly is a personalized solution that represents the equipment you are trained to use and the potential situations you are likely to encounter. Creating the perfect first aid kit begins by assessing your first aid knowledge and that of your family members. For instance, it doesn't make sense to have equipment in your kit that no one knows how to use. There are exceptions to this. Location also plays a role in the contents of your first aid kit. Procuring and storing antivenom for a king cobra bite doesn't make much sense in the United States, unless you happen to have one as a pet or live near a zoo. It would be nice to have equipment for every imaginable injury, but it is simply not practical due to size constraints. I cannot stress enough the importance of assessing your individual first aid training and filling in any gaps whenever possible. This will be beneficial to your family and other members of your community if professional medical assistance is unavailable. Local Red Cross chapters often hold training sessions from basic first aid through specialized training for wilderness survival and other less common but equally important situations. Often when people think of first aid kits,